Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shir is Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the middle of Daf Kuf Yud. You will notice a Mishnah, 24 lines from the top. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side in our margin where we've written Nosei Klali. Nosei is a topic heading. Klali means a general topic heading. And we indicate that this topic goes ad sof haperek. You'll notice that the perek ends on daf kuf yud aleph, omid aleph, at the end of omid aleph. The general topic, hashavas gezel hager. We're actually continuing a discussion that we had in our previous year, the return of a theft that one committed, stealing from a convert who died, leaving no relatives. The Mishnah. Hagezel es hager. Someone stole from a convert to Judaism. V'nishba lo, and swore that he did nothing of the sort. Umes, and then the ger died. The offender has to pay. But who is he going to pay to? Hareze mishalim keren v'choymesh l'kayhanim. He will pay the principal value of the theft and an added fifth to the Kohanim. We discussed this in our previous year, the Kohanim that are in the Beis HaMikdash at the time he is bringing the money. The Osham LeMizbeach, and he brings a guilt offering for having sworn falsely. He brings a guilt offering to the altar. Shenemar, im ein v'imein le'ish goel l'hoshiv Osham elov, Osham amushav l'ashem l'kohen. This pasuk tells us that if you're dealing with someone that has no relatives, no heirs, unto whom to return the theft, so it's given to the Almighty, so to speak, who then entitles the Kohanim to benefit. And that's besides the guilt offering, a ram that's brought as a guilt offering, through which the offender derives penitence. The offender was bringing the money and his guilt offering and then to the Beis HaMikdash, and he died. The money will be given to the thief's heirs, and the Oshem Yirat Shistoiv V'Mocher, the guilt offering, the animal that was dedicated as a sacrifice, will be set out to graze until it develops a blemish, yistoev, until it develops a blemish, rendering it unfit to be a sacrifice. V'yimocher, and then that the blemished animal will be sold. V'yiblu domov l'nedov, and the monies that are fetched from the sale, that are received from the sale, will then be used to buy voluntary type sacrifices that will be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Those will end up being burnt offerings, oilois, that are brought when the Mizbeach is experiencing downtime. And the skins of those sacrifices will be distributed to the Kohanim. Nosan HaKesef L'Anshei Mishmar Umeis. If the offender gave the money to the Kohanim service group called the Anshei Mishmar, and then the thief died, Ein Hayorshim Yichoyim Lahutzi Myodam. The heirs of the thief cannot retrieve that money. Shenemar Ish Asher Yitain LaKohen Lo Yeh. That which you give to the Kohen remains by the Kohen. As we go on in the Mishnah, reference will be made to names of service groups. Two service group names will be cited here. There are 24 service groups that existed in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And here, order is important as well. They functioned, they were appointed to serve, each service group would serve a week in the Beis HaMikdash according to a given cycle. So the first one is Yehoyoriv by name, and the second service group is Yedayah by name. The thief is expected to, in the event that the ger died, the convert died, leaving no heirs. So as we've seen, the thief brings the money and a guilt offering to the Beis HaMikdash. In this section of the Mishnah, we'll see a split. Nosan HaKesef LeHoyoriv, the cash owed as a result of the theft, was given to Yehoyoriv. That's the first service group. The Oshem and the sacrifice, the guilt offering, the Yedayah, to the second week service group. Yotzah, the thief has fulfilled his obligations. Osham liyoriv v'kesef liyadaya. Let us say he switched the order and he gave the Osham, the guilt offering, to the first service group. V'kesef liyadaya, and the cash to the second service group. Im kayim ha'osham yakrivuhu b'nei yadaya. If the guilt offering hasn't been slaughtered yet, that which was given to Yehoyoriv, if it's still around, so it is given to the service group that received the money, the second service group, and they will offer it. Ve'im lo, and if it's not alive anymore, yachzir v'yavi osham achir. The thief has to bring a replacement guilt offering. Shehamevi gzeloi ad shalo hevi ashamo yotza. One who brings the money before he brings the guilt offering. So that's, we'll say, the right order of things. However, hevi ashamo ad shalo hevi gzelo, this section of the Mishnah explains the point that we saw in diamond number two. The case there, we said in diamond number two, point bays, we said that if the Osham had been offered by the first service group before the second service group received the money, so the thief is not Yotze. And that's a function of this rule. Hevi Ashomo Achelo Hevi Gzelo Lo Yotze. One who brings the guilt offering before the money is paid, so he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. Nosan es hakeren velo nosan es hachemesh. If the principal amount was paid, but not the required additional fifth, ein hachemesh ma'akev. The payment of that fifth does not restrain the offering of the guilt offering. The payment of the principal, that must be done before the sacrifice, the guilt offering, is offered. But the additional fifth is not a restraining or binding factor, binding payment, with regard to the offering of the sacrifice. As we turn now to the Gemara, we notice a geometric form, a house shape, one of our series markings, and in addition to that, you see the use of a double underline that follows. On the side of the Gemara, in our margin, we have a Mivneh, a structural note, where a house, a double underline, and a squiggle underline are featured. Sidra, the house marking, introduces a series, Sidra Shal Braisos, a series of Tanaic sources, Shepoischos Be Osham Ze Hakeren. You'll see the Braisa making reference to the word Osham that you find in the Torah, and the word Osham found in the Torah, in this context, of course, is a reference to the principal amount. That's the keren, the principal. In the Mishnah, this pasuk appeared, where it said, "V'im ein li'ish goyel lahashiv ha'asham eloft." if the man died, leaving no relatives, to return unto him the osham. What does that mean, to return unto him the osham? It means to return unto him the principal value of the theft. In the Tanaic sources that we will read, after opening with the declaration that osham ze akeren, umalois hatzos chilufios, alternative suggestions will appear, and it's squiggle underline, the expression eleno elo, or maybe it means something else. So if you allow your eye to skim down to the next three Tanaic sources introduced with the house marking, you'll see that this is a recurring theme in which where the source opens up. Now the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Osham ze hakeren. Hamushav, also a word from the Pasuk that was quoted in the Mishnah, with Perik, Bamidbor Perik Hei Pasuk Ches. And the word Hamushav, Zeh Chomesh. That's a reference to the additional fifth, that the thief who swore falsely and admits has to pay. O Eino Ela Osham Zeh Ayil. Maybe the word Osham means the ram, the actual animal sacrifice. And the word Mushav would be the Keren, the principle. So maybe in the pasuk that we read, the word Osham is a reference to the animal sacrifice, and the word Osham usually means a guilt offering. Let us skip the brackets for a moment. Kishu Omer Milvad Yom HaKippurim, within the same pasuk that we read, pasuk Ches, you also see that it says the payments are made besides the El HaKippurim, the ram brought for atonement purposes. So the ram is accounted for, the animal sacrifice is accounted for by that phrase, Heve Yomer Osham Zekeren. Therefore, the word Osham is a reference to the principal value. Let's go back over the bracketed section. We raised the possibility that Osham might refer to something other than the principal value of the theft, the cash value. Maybe Osham is the isle, the ram, the sacrifice. Now the Gemara says, in the brackets, Ulamai Nafka Mina, what difference does it make whether you say that Osham is or is not the principal value? So the Nafka Mina would be La Fuke Midorova. If Osham is not a reference to the principal value, then we will dispel Rava. Diyama Rava, Gezel Hager, the theft from a convert, Shechziru Balayla Lo Yotza. If he returns it at night, he hasn't fulfilled his obligations. Hechziru Chatzoyim Lo Yotza. If he returns it in parts, if he had stolen $100 and returns $50 and then another $50, he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. My time. Why? Answer, Osham Kaya Rachmana. The Torah uses the unusual word Osham as a reference to the payment of that, of the Gezel Hager. Since the Torah uses an unusual word Osham, it means that we have to treat the payment as you would a sacrifice, meaning a sacrifice you offer only by day, not at night. A sacrifice you don't bring in parts, so to the payment must be in one shot, one full amount. So what does the word Osham refer to? Does it refer to the principal payment, or Osham maybe is a reference to the sacrifice? So we said that it's clearly a reference to the principal payment. And as Rava said, that has halachic bearings, that you can't return it at night, and you cannot bring it, you can't return it in parts. Tanyo idoch. Osham ze keren. Hamushav ze choymesh. O eno elo osham ze choymesh. Osham, as we said earlier, that's a reference to returning of the principal amount of money that was stolen. Maybe, though, Asham is a reference to the Cholmesh, the additional fifth. Again, just for the moment, for the time being, let's skip the brackets. Kishomer v'heshivis Ashamoy b'roishoy v'chamishiso. In this post, if you see the word Chomesh referred to explicitly, following the word Ashamo, heveyomer Asham zekeren. So it must be that Asham is the principal. And the bracketed section that we skipped, we now return to, we said that Asham is the principal value, or maybe Asham is a reference to the fifth that's added. And according to that suggestion, so where in the pasuk is reference made to the principal? The word mushav. The Gemara in the brackets, lamai nafgamina, what practical difference is there whether you say the Asham is the principal or it's not? Lafuke mimasnisen. The result would be, if you're going to say that Asham is the fifth, then we would be rejecting, excluding the teaching in our Mishnah. Desnan, it says in the Mishnah, Nosan lo yasakeren, velo nosan lo yasachoymesh, if the thief paid the principal but did not add the fifth, ein hachoymesh ma'akev, the additional fifth doesn't restrain the ability to offer the sacrifice. Well, if you're going to say that Asham is the Chomesh, Adarabo Chomesh Ma'akev, by terming the fifth, by the term Asham, you're in effect saying that the Asham, the fifth is like, is a mainstay. It's like the sacrifice itself. You're assigning such importance to the Chomesh, as by using the term Asham, it would then indicate to us that without the offering, without the payment of the fifth, you wouldn't be able to offer the sacrifice. And that would certainly be unlike the teaching in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, have no fear, don't worry about that, because the word Asham is clearly a reference to the principal, and the word Mushav is a reference to the fifth. Tanya Idach. Asham ze keren, hamushav ze choymesh, ubegezel hager hakosuf medaber. And this posuk is referring to one who stole from a convert. Oeno elo hamushav ze kefel, ubegenevas hager hakosuf medaber. Now we didn't emphasize enough what we should have a line ago. The first suggestion is that the pasuk is talking about Gezel Hager. The Gezel is theft done in the open, as opposed to something done covertly. That's termed Gineva. There's a difference between Gezel and Gineva, not only in the actual theft itself, but in the payment. By Gineva, kefel is paid, a double amount is paid. Gezel, an open, overt form of theft, there is no additional, there's no double payment. So our pasuk says Asham, and it says Mushav. The Asham is a reference to the Keren, and Mushav is a reference to the fifth. That is reflective of someone who had stolen from a ger in an overt fashion, and he happened to swear that he didn't steal, and it turns out that he did. So he adds a fifth. O'enu elo hamushav zekefel. Or the other possibility is that the word mushav is a reference to the double payment. And the offense that had taken place would be genevas agera kosum medaber. And that the pasuk is referring to a covert type act of theft. Kishu Omer, well, when it says in the Pasuk, Veheshiv es ashomoi b'roishoi v'chamishiso, you're going to pay the principal plus a fifth. That shows us that we're talking about a payment where the principal is paid, not a double payment. Where you have a double payment, you won't find a fifth added. Where you have a principal alone that is paid, there that can result in a situation where you will add a fifth. So that the Pasuk is not talking about Ginevas Hager. Gufa, Omar Rava, Gezel Hager. This is a point we made earlier. We had this in the bracketed section. We have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text where you can align this with the previous arrow and see where this is coming from. Rava tells us that Gezel Hager, Shechzir Balayla, that's paid, that's returned at night. Lo Yotza, the thief hasn't fulfilled his obligation if he returns the money at night. Hechziru Chatzoyin Lo Yotza, if he returns it in installments, he also does not fulfill his obligation of returning. Mai Taimo, Osham Karya Rachmana. The Torah refers to the payment using the term Osham. And we explained earlier, an Osham is a sacrifice, generally, not in this particular sugya, but the word Osham in general is a reference to a sacrifice. Why was the principal value referred to? Why did the Chazal choose to refer to it? I should say, why did the Torah choose to refer to the payment of the principal by using a borrowed expression, the word Osham? So it tells us that it's treated like a sacrifice in that it cannot be offered at night. The money can't be returned at night. A sacrifice is brought in its complete form, not in parts. So to the principal value or payment of the Gezel Hager must be in one payment, not in installments. The Yoma Rava, we should point out that the triangles that we're seeing here are explained on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. The triangles are Sidur Shel Meiros Shel Rava, a series of statements of Rava, and you'll see a colored in triangle are Ushei Loisov questions, Be'inyan Hatzoras Gezel Hager, regarding the return of the money that was stolen from the convert. So we continue in our Gemara. The Omar Rava, a second teaching of his, Gezel Hager She'en Bo Shoveh Pruta, L'chol Kayin V'Kayin, Lo Yotze Yedei Chavasai. The amount of the Gezel Hager, when divided amongst each one of the Kehanim in that particular service group, the Mishmar, when dividing the amount stolen into equal portions for each Kohen, and the result is that there's less than a Shoveh Pruta in that will be given to each Kohen. We'll just say that the initial amount stolen wasn't that great, or the amount of Kohanim that are there is maybe very great, so that each Kohen is getting less than a Shoveh Pruta. Lo Yotzi Dechavoso. The thief does not fulfill his requirement. Dechtiv Ha'asham Ha'mushav Atshe Ha'shova L'chol Kohen V'Kohen, until you have a return to each Kohen. When we speak about a return, it means a minimum significant amount. Now that minimum significant amount is a Shoveh Pruta. Less than that will not constitute then a fulfillment of the Torah requirement of returning to or paying the Gezel Hager money to the base Hamikdash, to the Kehanim. Boy Rava. Now, after we saw two statements of Rava, now a question. Ein boy l'mishmeres Yehoyov. V'yesh bo, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, l'mishmeres Yedaya Mahu. The amount in the Gezel Hager was an amount that wouldn't have been enough for each Kohen in the Mishmor of Yehoyoriv to receive a Shoveh Pruta. the service group of Yehoyor was a very large service group. The amount stolen was very little. So if you have a situation where there isn't enough of there isn't enough for all the Kehanim in Yehoyoriv, however, Yesh Bo, the Gemara says at the top of Amud Beis, Lemishmeres Yedaya, shows Yedaya being less populous. So the amount in the Gezel Ager would result in a Shava Pruta per Kohen. Mahu. Well, what's the din? What's the procedure? What should we rule? Hey, Fidomi, we still are lacking certain facts. So the Gemara says, what is it? What is the nature of the question? What are the facts behind the question? Ilema, and in order to reach the conclusion, we go through a couple of stages. That's why you see the double underline. Ilema diave liyadaya b'mishmeres yadaya. If he gave the money to the service group of Yadaya during their appointed time to be there, well, ha is bay. You just indicated that there would be a shava pruta for each coin in the Yadaya group. So, what's the question? Lo tzricha. So, what needs to be clarified is diave li Yadaya b'mishmato diyoyorev mai. The money was given to the second service group during the time that the first service group of namely Yehoyoriv was still functioning. Mai. Mi amrinan. Kevon delav mishmato hu velo klumhu. Since you gave it to Yedaya when he was not in session, so you did nothing. You gave it to the air, so to speak. El Dilma, Kevon delo chosi le meikara. On the other hand, you could say that since the Gezel Ager was not enough for each member of Yehoyoriv, so it wasn't really destined to be given to Yehoyoriv in the first place. Liyadaya koi. It's really standing to be given to Yedaya. What is the din in such a case? Is the payment considered a fulfillment of your our expectations? So just to review the scenario, he had paid the money to the second service group when the first service group was still in session. But since the amount of money wasn't fit for the first service group, it was destined to be to reach Yedaya anyway, even though you gave it to them before they started their week of service. So the Gemara says, Teku, it leaves this unresolved. Before continuing with the next question, let us glance at the side under our Mivneh heading, our structural note, where we have Roman numerals 1 and 2. They represent Shnei Lishonos Barova, two versions of Rova. Be'inyan Chalukas Tashlume Gezel Hager Bein HaKohanim, regarding the distribution of the payment of the thief who stole from the ger amongst the Kohanim. The first Loshon you will see is presented. The first Lashon that is presented is Lashon She'ela. It's presented in a question form. Roman numeral number 2, Behedya, Bali She'ela. It's presented there straightforward, explicitly, without a question form. Now the Gemara. Boy Rova, Kohanim Mahu Shechalku Gezel Hager Keneged Gezel Hager. Can the Kohanim divide amongst themselves in, we'll say, the following fashion? The Gezel Hager that's brought today, I will take, and the Gezel Hager that's brought tomorrow, instead of my taking a portion of it, you will take my portion, so that the Kohanim are in effect exchanging their portions. Today, Kohen 1 takes a double portion, and in exchange, on day 2, Kohen number 2 will take a double portion. Can they do that? Mi amrinon osham karya rachmona. Do we say that the payment of gezel ager is referred to by the term osham? Ma osham ein chokin osham keneged osham. Just like in the case of a sacrifice that's brought and the meat is divided amongst the various kohanim, one kohen cannot say that today I'll take a double portion, I'll take your portion, and tomorrow you take my portion. That you cannot do. Af gezel hager ein chokim gezel hager keneged gezel hager. So too, when it comes to the distribution of the gezel hager, you cannot make exchanges like that. Today I'll take a portion, and tomorrow instead of my taking, you take. Oy dilma, or possibly gezel hager mamonahu. The payment is simply a monetary payment. It's not an actual sacrifice. It's true, in sacrifices there is that limitation. Everyone gets his own portion, and you can't exchange portion for portion. But with regard to money, it can be divided in such a fashion. Hader Poshta, and after raising the question, he, Rava, then answered, Asham Karya Rachmana, the Torah chooses the unusual word of osham to refer to the money payment, hence it has the status of a sacrifice with that distribution restriction as we describe. Rav Acha brei de Rava masni lo behedya. Rav Acha presents Rava not in a question form, but in a straightforward form. Omar Rava, kehanim ein chokim gezel hager keneged gezel hager. When the kehanim receive gezel hager, they cannot exchange their respective amounts, that I will take today a portion in the gezel hager, and tomorrow you will take a portion. But rather, it's distributed equally amongst all of the kohanim, and no exchange possibility exists. My taima, why is it that way? Osham Karya Rachmana. The Torah refers to the payment by using the word Osham, which is a term that we associate with a sacrifice. As we continue, we notice, in addition to the triangle introducing another question of Rava's, Roman numerals that appear in diamonds, and on the side of the Gemara, we note our Nosei / Mivne heading. Shnei Lishonos, the two versions, B'She'elas Kehanim B'Gezel Ager, Ha'im B'Kabalosam Nechshavim Kiyorshim O K'Mekablei Matona. How do we view the Kehanim who receive the Gezel Hager payment? Do we view them as heirs or as those receiving a gift? That sounds a bit academic. The Gemara itself will ask, well, what difference does it make? Now the Gemara. Boy Rava, Kayanim Begezel Ager, Yorshin Havu, Oi Mekable Matonos Havu. Are the Kayanim viewed as heirs or as gift receivers? Lamai Nafgamina, what practical difference is there in how you classify them? Kagoin Shegozal Chometz, V'Ovar Olov HaPesach. A thief stole chometz from a ger, and Pesach went by, and of course the ger is dead, so payment is made to the kohanim. Can the thief give that very chometz that he stole to the kohanim? I amris yorshin havu. If you view them as heirs, in other words, they're like heirs of the ger. Well, then hainu hai diarsi moris. Then that bread is in effect passed down to the benefactor to the heirs. In other words, the thief would be able to return that loaf of bread. This is the loaf that they inherit. V'yamris mekable matonas havu, matona kamrachmona denesiv lahu, v'ha loko yov lahu midi, diafra bialmahu. If you view the kehanim in receiving the gezel hager payment as receivers of a gift, then it has to be something of value. It's not an inheritance. They are receiving a gift. You have to give them something of value, and chometz that lasted over Pesach loses all value. It's also, it's forbidden b'hano, to benefit from it. So if you take the approach that they're mekabli matonis, the return of the loaf will not be sufficient on the part of the thief. Rav Zeira boy hachi. Rav Zeira raises the question thusly. Afilu im tim selomar mekable maton havu, ha lo ibayalon. Even if you say that the kohanim are viewed as gift receivers in their receipt of the gezel hager, this is not a question. Dahi matona oma rachmona denesiv lahu. This is the gift that they are to receive. This is a, it's a, we'll call it a valueless gift, but the thief would fulfill his return requirement by returning that loaf that he stole. Ela ki come by alon, when a question is to be raised on this matter, kagon shenoflu loy eser behemus begezel hager. The analysis becomes an issue in the case that the kohen received as gezel hager, as the payment of gezel hager, 10 animals, 10 cows. The questionnaire is mechayvi lafrushe minayu meiser olo. Do we require the kohen to separate the meiser behemoth tithe of all animals that are born in a given year? 1 out of 10 is to be tithed. The kohen received 10 animals as payment of the gezel hager. Yorshin havu, are the kohanim viewed as heirs? The Omar Mar konu betfisas habayis chayovin, and the halacha says that heirs that receive animals as part of the inheritance, betfisas habayis is an expression before the inheritance is divided amongst the respective heirs, the inheritance as a whole unit is called tfisas habayis. If heirs inherited animals, and many animals that were born that particular year, they are chayav. As heirs, they have to tithe the meiser behema tithe. Oidilmo mekable matonas havu utnan, or maybe we view the kohanim who receive the gezel hager payment as gift receivers. And regarding a receiver of a gift of animals, the Mishnah says, Halokeach vanitan loy b'matona poter mimaiser behema. If you received 10 or more animals as a gift, those animals are not subjected to the maiser behema tithe. They're exempt. My. So our question then is, what is the status of kohanim vis-a-vis gezel hager? And the practical nafkamina is, would the kohen who receives a payment of a group of animals have to tithe the meiser behema tithe? You notice we have a little star, and it draws your attention to a note on the side. Mikol hamokar habo. We're going to see a Tanaic source, or rather a long Tanaic source is cited. We need essentially rak mashe mikuvkav Shvil Havonas Atoshma. All we need is the dashed underline part. And what you see in this source, dashed underline, are the words Matonis, and at the very end of the source, Gezel Hager. So that the source tells us, informs us, that the payment of Gezel Hager to the Kehanim is viewed as a Matona, and they are not viewed as heirs. And as a result, there would be no need for the Kehanim to tithe the Meiser Behemah tithe from a Gezel Hager payment that is made in the form of animals. The source itself features what is referred to as the 24 priestly gifts. 24 different provisions that the Torah makes benefiting the Kehanim. 24 allocations or gifts that they are granted. We'll see in the source that they're divided into three subgroups. 10 forms of gift that a Kohen is entitled to in the Beis HaMikdash, 4 in Yerushalayim, and another 10 all over the land of Israel. The term Begvulin appears. It's not of essential importance for us to dwell on the details in this source, insofar as our sugya is concerned. We try to highlight already the reason this source is brought, and it answers the question that we raised regarding how to categorize Kehanim in their receipt of Gezel Hager, and we will answer, once again, that they are viewed as receivers of a gift, Matonas. So, the Gemara continues. We asked, are they Mekable Matonas or Yorshin Toshma? Esrim v'arba matonis kahuna nitnu Aharon levonov. There are 24 priestly gifts given by the Torah to Aaron and his Kohen descendants. V'kulon nitnu b'klal u'pradu klal u'bris u'melach. And when you look at the verses, you will see that they're presented in a klal u'prat u'klal fashion, means that there's a general statement, a klal, and then the individual gifts are specified, and then it's followed by another scriptural general statement. Rashi points out the relevant passages, and furthermore, ubris melach, the gifts given to the Kohanim are part of a covenant, literally a covenant of salt. The idea of salt is something that is, we'll say, everlasting, long-lasting, everlasting. It's a very firm covenant. Kol ha-mekayimon kilu mekayim klal uprat uklal ubris melach. He who fulfills the requirements of giving these gifts to the Kehanim is viewed as if he has fulfilled the klal prat to klal and the covenant of melach. Kol ha'oiver aleihem, anyone who violates them, kilu oiver al klal uprat to klal ubris melach. Rashi adds a little more clarity. Let's look at the Rashi together, about a third of the way down from the top. Kol ha'mekaimon kilu kiem kol ha'toiro kula shenitna lidroish beklal uprat to klal ukilu kiem kol ha-karbonus shenitna bohen bris melach. He who fulfills these matnas kahuna, he who tithes and allocates the various allocations to the Kehanim, is viewed as if he has fulfilled the entire Torah. The Torah, all of the Torah, is filled with various drushas that are of a klal uprat uklal nature, where we decipher and determine what the Torah is requesting or requiring of us through paying attention to these scriptural phenomena. The general statement followed by a specific statement or example, followed in turn by, again, a general statement. And the sacrifices offered in the Beis HaMikdash, they were offered along with salt. So, bris melach is a reference to the sacrificial service in the Beis HaMikdash. So he who fulfills the Matnas Kahuna, giving the gifts of the Kehanim, is given credit as if he's fulfilled the entire Torah, including the offering of all the Korbanos. The Eluhainen, here are the 24 Matnas Kuna. First, before itemizing them, we categorize Eser B'Migdash, 10 in the Beis HaMikdash, Dalet 4 B'Yerushalayim, and Eser and 10 more B'Gvulin outside of Yerushalayim. In other words, applying to all of the land of Israel. Eser B'Migdash, the 10 in the Beis HaMikdash are Chatos Behema, Chatos Of, the animal sin offering is given to the Kehanim, bird sin offering, Osham Vadai, Vasham Toli, a guilt offering and a suspended guilt offering, Vizivche Shalmei Tzibur, public Shlomim sacrifices, Veluk Shemen Shalmetzora, the lug is a measure of oil that was used in the Metzora purification process, Umoyser HaOymer, and the grain offering known as the Omer offering, that is the after the handful is offered on the Mizbeach, on the altar, the balance, the Mosar, is given to the Kehanim. Ushtei HaLechem, the two loaves of Shavuos, Lechem Aponim, the showbreads that stood from week to week in the Beis HaMikdash, Ushorei Menachos, and the balance of all meal offerings. 10 sacrificial gifts given to Kehanim. The Arba B'Yushalayim, 4 additional gifts that the Kohen can enjoy in Yerushalayim, not restricted to the Beis HaMikdash. HaBechora VaBikurim. Bechora is our firstborn male animals, are given to the Kohanim, who offer them as sacrifices and subsequently are eaten in the walls, within the walls of Jerusalem. VaBikurim, first, the first fruits that people bring to the Beis HaMikdash and give to Kehanim, starting on Shavuos, running through the following months. V'hamurim, min murim, means that which is separated from the following sacrifices. Ha-toido v'heil nozir, a thanks offering, or the nozir offering. The nozir brings a ram, and there is a part of that separated and given to the Kohen. V'oireis kochim, and kochim, the skins of sacrifices. V'asora b'gvulin, and there are 10 additional gifts that apply throughout the land of Israel. Truma, these are the well-known tithes, the Truma tithe, Truma's Meiser, the tithe that a Levi gives from his Meiser, he in turn tithes that and gives his share to the Kayin. V'chala, the dough tithe, v'reishis agez, the first shearings of wool. V'hamatonis, those are various parts of animal, the zroah, l'chaim v'keva, of schulin slaughtered animals. Those are common animals that are slaughtered. The forearm, the cheek, and the stomach are given to the Kehanim. U'pidyon ha-ben, the redemption of a firstborn male child, the 5 sloyim that a father gives to redeem his son, is those 5 sloyim, sloyim, a type of denomination of currency, are given to the Kohen. Pidyon Peter Chamor, a firstborn donkey is redeemed by giving the Kohen a sheep instead, and that's given to a Kohen. That's number 7. Number 8, Ustei Achuza, Usodei Haramim, V'Gezel Ager. Here the source is quite brief, but the Ustei Achuza is a reference to a topic we saw very recently, a person who sanctified his inheritance field, and the owner didn't redeem it back from the Beis HaMikdash, and the temple treasurer sold that field to a purchaser. When the Yovel year rolls around, those fields are distributed amongst the Kehanim. Ustei Haramim is a reference to a Yisrael who declared his field a Chirim. Chirim is a type of dedication, a type of vow dedication that results in the Kohen acquiring it. So people who are Machrim their fields, is a gift to the Kohanim, the Gezel Hager. And of course, that's what we were aiming for. The Rashi says, Gezel Hager nami kori le matnes gvulin, shim nosnoi le kohen hamishamer, kohen hamishmar chus v'shalem, yotza, v'yel hashom yali v'shalem v'hakriv. If the thief gave the payment to the Kohen, and he happened to meet him outside Yerushalayim, so the money payment given to the Kohen is a fulfillment of the thief's obligation. As far as the sacrifice, the guilt offering that he must bring also for having sworn falsely, that is eventually brought to Yerushalayim and offered there. But the payment can be made outside of Yerushalayim, and hence it's called Gvulin. The Kari Mihas Matona. We see that Gezel Ager is referred to by the term Matona. Shma Mino, Mekabli Matona Savu, Shma Mino. So we see from here that the Kohanim are viewed as gift receivers with respect to the Gezel Ager, and we pointed out the Nafka Mina before regarding the Meiser Behemo, the exemption. Nosan is a kesef la'anshe mishmar. If the thief paid the money to the anshe mishmar, to the kohanim that were serving at that time, at the time that he returns the money, that he pays the money, umeis, and the thief died, eina yorshim yichum lahutzim yodam, the heirs of the thief cannot withdraw the money from the anshe mishmar, from the kohanim that received it. Omar Abaye. Actually, before we continue reading in the Gemara, we ought to look at the side. We have a Nosei topic heading, which reads, Nesinas HaKesef Shel Gezel Ager LeKohanim Mechaper Mechza. The money paid to the Kohanim by the thief has a partial atonement power to it. Literally, it atones 50%. Omar Abaye, Shma Mina, from our Mishnah, we can conclude, Kesef Mechaper Mechza. Money paid by the thief actually atones in part. In addition to the money paid, we know that a sacrifice, a guilt offering is brought in the event that he had stolen from the thief, from the ger, swore falsely and then confessed. But in the meantime, the money atones in half. The ilo mechaper, if it had no atonement power, have amina mahadu liyorshim. I would think that it would be returned to the heirs. In other words, you have the thief paid the money and then died before bringing his sacrifice. I would have thought that if it has no atonement capacity, the heirs should be entitled to that money. Why? My time, adaita dochi, lo yohavle. The money was not given with the thinking that it would have no atonement. It must be that by giving the money to the anshe mishmar, the thief achieved partial atonement, and that's the reason why the heirs can't request it back, because otherwise, if it had no atonement power, we would reason that the money was not given with the mindset that it would have no atonement power to it. Now, with that logic in mind, namely that which we dashed underline, adaita dochi lo yoivle, with that in mind, the Gemara goes on with several questions, attempts to, analyze Abaye's reasoning. And on the side under our Mivneh heading, we indicate Hagemara boichenes v'as Abaye, the das hanoisin yochel achriya binyonim shoinim. We're going to analyze Abaye's reasoning that the intent of the giver can be a deciding factor in different areas. Elo me'ata, if that be the case, that the intent of the giver is a deciding factor, Chatas Shenesu Baleo, a sin offering that was set aside, but the owner, the individual who needed atonement, died before offering it. That's called a chatos shemesu baleo, a sin offering whose owner died. Tepuk lechulin should be restored to its mundane status and not to what we know actually happens in a case like that, where the animal is set aside to die. Why? If Abaye's reasoning is correct, it should revert to chulin, to a mundane, common status. A person didn't set aside his sin offering with the intent that it should be set aside to die. Amri, the Gemara rejects that, we'll say, question on Abaye. Chatas Shemesu Baleo Yuchisa Gemiri Lo Delamisa Azlo. As far as the example of a chatas whose owner died before being offered, the animal itself is set aside to die, is governed by, or is legislated by, an oral tradition. Hilchisa is an oral tradition back to Sinai. It's not something that we will, say, argue with or raise against it logical objections. But in something that's not governed by an oral tradition, we can come to conclusions using this logic that, as Abaye concluded by the Gezel here, it must be that it atoned in half, because otherwise the heirs would have been able to retrieve it if it did nothing. The original payment one wouldn't have made for nothing, for no atonement ends. Let's continue another challenge. Elameato. Well, if Abaye's analysis is correct, that the giver's intent is a determining factor, Osham Shemesu Balov. A moment before we spoke about a sin offering, here we're going to talk about a guilt offering. A guilt offering whose owner died before offering it. Lepuk lechulin, it should go, or it should revert to chulin status. And we know, by the way, that it doesn't, but it should revert to chulin status. Adaita dafilo afreshe. The original owner did not set aside a guilt offering for what eventually happens to it. It's set out into the fields till it develops a blemish, and the money is then used to buy a sin, an ola, a burnt offering. Well, and yet we see that the Osham Shemesu Balav does not revert to chulin. Doesn't that show that the giver's intention is not a determining factor? The Gemara responds, Osham Nami, regarding the Osham as well, in addition to the sin offering, Hilchiso Gemiri Law, there's an oral tradition that determines its fate. What does the oral tradition state? Kol Shebechatas Mesa, given circumstances under which a chatas, sin offering, is set aside to die, Be'osham Roya, the equivalent, when it comes to a guilt offering, it is set out to graze. And as this is Gemara speaking here in shorthand, but means graze until it develops a blemish, and the animal is then redeemed, the money being used to buy burnt offerings. So far, Abaye's point regarding the Gezel HaGer payment being an effective means of achieving half atonement for the offender stands. Elo me'ata, well, we challenge, Yevama shenafla lifnei mukeshchin, tepuk below chalitza, da'adayte da'achi lo kidsha atzma. Although this is two lines of Gemara, but a lot of background is necessary. for those who are not familiar with these ideas. So briefly, a Yevama is a widow whose husband died leaving no children. She is bound by the Torah to marry the surviving brother. That's called Yibum. If the surviving brother decides not to marry her, so then there is the famous shoe removal ceremony, which we call Chalitza. Imagine that a woman married a man whose brother was Mukishchin, afflicted with body boils. Mukishchin is, we could say in one word, is a situation that is disgusting. It's a type of a person that is that one cannot really, a woman would not be able to marry and sustain a family life with a Mukishchin. She, according to the logic that Abaye used, should be able to marry after becoming a widow and subjected to a brother-in-law, that's Mukishchin, the surviving brother, a Mukishchin. She should be able to be free to marry whomever she wants without going through the shoe removal ceremony, without chalitza. And yet we know that's not the case. In order for her to be released from the Yibum bond, even if the Yovam, the surviving brother, is a Mukishchin, she has to remove the shoe from his foot as is dictated by the chalitza ceremony. But if Abaye's logic is correct, she should be free to marry even without going through the shoe removal ceremony. She never married herself initially to her original husband with this in mind, with this eventuality coming to pass. The Gemara says that that's not true. Hasam, in the case of marriage, Anan Sadi, we bear witness. In other words, it's a general accepted reality. We continue at the top of Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Demenach ni chala b'chol dehu kidereish lakish, that a woman is satisfied in finally finding a mate in marriage, regardless of his family status, in this particular case, regardless of the fact that his brother is a Mukishchin, based on Reish Lakish's idea, the Omer Reish Lakish, Tav Lemate of Tandu, Mi Lemase of Armelo, a woman or womankind figures, it's better to be Tandu, means two bodies, me with a husband, than to continue a life of isolation. Armelo literally is a widow, a life of widowhood, meaning a life of being single. So that Abaye's original logic stands. And that even in the case of the Yevama, the woman did get married with that unfortunate eventuality in mind. She took it into consideration, so to speak, based on Reish Lakish's principle. The Gemara continues with a quote, Nosan es hakesef lihayoriv. Just to review, we had two service groups. The first service group, in chronological order, Yehoyoriv, followed by the next service group, Yedaya. And we also pointed out that there's an expectation that the thief, in order to achieve atonement, must first pay the money that he owes as a result of stealing from the ger, and then bring the sacrifice that's necessary when you're dealing with the ger that the thief that stole from the ger swore falsely and then admitted, so he has to, in addition to pay the money, he has to bring a sacrifice. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading in Osei, which reads Tashlum Gezel Hager, V'Havoas HaKorban, B'Tzur Mefutzeles. Person who has to pay the money to the Kehanim and also bring a sacrifice, but he brings these two payments he does in a split fashion, split between the two, between two service groups. That's Mefutsoles L'Shnei Mishmoros Kehuna. Scenario Aleph, the first scenario, Keseder, where he does things in the proper order. HaKesef Rishon V'Achakach HaKorban. He brings the, he pays the money first, and then he brings the sacrifice to the second service group. The alternatively, Beis Shalom Keseder. We'll see him acting out of order. Now the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Nosan Osham Le'Yor V'Kesef Le'Yedaya. If a person brought the Osham, the guilt offering, I want to point out something now that could be a point of confusion in general, and it's going to arise at the end of this Omid as well, that the term Osham in rabbinic texts is a reference to the guilt offering, the sacrifice. The term Osham, when used by the Torah in this context, is a reference to the principal, the money payment. So in this source, the term Osham is used in contradistinction to Kesef. Well, Kesef is obviously the money payment, so Osham is the guilt offering. So this thief who had stolen from the ger, he lied under oath that he didn't, and then confessed, so he has to pay the money to the Kehanim, in the case, of course, that the ger died before he ever paid him. And in addition to the money, bring the guilt offering. Our source opens up with someone who gave the Osham to Yehoyoriv and the Kesef Liadaya. So what do you see him doing first? First bringing the sacrifice, then paying the money. Yachsir Kesef Eitzel Osham. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Here we'll just translate. Translation is that the Kesef must be brought to where the Osham is. That's Rabbi Yehuda. V'chomim omrim, yachsir Osham Eitzel Kesef. The guilt offering is to be brought to where the money is. Heichi Domi, what are the circumstances? And here we have the, we've highlighted the stages of analysis, E Lema, and then Hocha B'mayaskinon. So, first stage, E Lema, if you were to think, Diyoyiv Le Osham Le Yoyoriv, the Mishmar to Yoyoriv, the guilt offering was brought to Yoyoriv when they were in fact in service, in their week of service. The Kesef Liyadaya, the Mishmar to Yedaya, and the money was given to Yedaya, to the second service group during their week of service. Well, why would the source say that that one has to be transferred to the other? Zeh Zocha B'Shaloi, Zeh Zocha B'Shalo. Rashi, on the third line from the top, Zeh Zocha B'Shalo, Zeh Zocha B'Shalo, each one maintains that which he was given. Unehinami l'rabbanon dekonsu l'yoriv dekibul osham dekami kesef. Granted that the opinion of the Rabbanon is that we impose a knas, a fine, on Yehoyoriv for having accepted the osham prematurely before the money. El Rabbi Yehuda, but as far as the Rabbi Yehuda who appeared in the source, my time dekonis l'yadaya. Why should Yedaya lose out? If they were given the money during their week of service, why should they have to part with the money? The Gemara continues, Omar Rava, Hacha B'mayaskinon, in this source, the following is the what we're talking about. Diyoiv Osham, L'yoyoriv V'mishmarto Diyoriv, the Kesef L'yedaya B'mishmarto Diyoriv. Everything is taking place during the week of service of Yehoyoriv. The sacrifice was given to Yehoyoriv during their week, and the money that was paid to the other guys, to the Yedaya group, but it was paid to them before they started their service. It was paid during the week that Yehoyoriv was serving. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Rabbi Yehuda who said that the money is to be parted with, you know, that Yedaya has to give the money to to Yahyoriv. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Kevan Delav Mishmeres Giyadayahi, since the money was given to them, but not during their week of service, they're not entitled to it. Liyadaya Kansinolei, the knas, the fine, is imposed upon them. When we speak about fine, means the requirement to part with that which they received is that requirement is imposed on them, on Yadaya. Hilkoch Yachsu Kesef Eitzel Asham. Therefore, the money that they received out of time, prematurely, it goes to where the guilt offering is, where, namely to Yahoyoriv. For Rabbanan Savri, and Rabbanan, who said that the Asham is to be given to the Yadaya group, they hold Shalok Kedin Hu Ovud Bnei Yahoyoriv. Bnei Yahoyoriv functioned in an unacceptable way. The Kiblu Asham Mekami Kesef, they received the, they were willing to accept the guilt offering before the thief ever paid the money. Hilkoch Lididhu Kansina Luvi Azur Asham Eitzel Kesef. Therefore, the Rabbanan's opinion is that we impose our fine, the need to part with that which you received, upon them who accepted something in an unacceptable way. And therefore, the Osham goes to where the Kesef is. Tanya, Omar, Rebbe. Rebbe analyzes now Le Divrei Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda. Now, let's glance at Rashi. On the first narrow line, Le Divrei Rebbe Yehuda, V'afagav dekonis le liyadaya. Even though we saw Rebbe Yehuda impose a knas on Yadaya for having accepted the money prematurely before they entered service, Hani Mili, the knas that Rebbe Yehuda imposes on them, Haicha de Oshem Rishon Kayim. That's where the original guilt offering is still around. The Yechelim Bnei Yoriv Lakrivoi Boid Mishmatin Kayemes Ubehechsher. Because in such a way where the animal is still around, and it's still the service group, the service week of Yoyoriv, they will be able to offer the guilt offering in an acceptable way, so that the guilt offering and the money are both in the possession of Yoyoriv, so we can say everything is fine. Avol im kidmu v'krivu b'psul. If, however, the Yahyoriv people offered the Asham prematurely before the money was paid, they offered it in an unacceptable way, in a voided fashion, in a disqualified fashion. The Asham abal kedem akeren pasul hu kedem mefurish lekamon. An Asham that is brought, that is offered before the principal money is paid, is pasul, is rejected. As is explained later, if it's rejected, then another guilt offering must be brought. Well, under circumstances like that, yinosein osham asheni liyadaya, then the second osham shall be presented to the Yadaya group. And now we see this in the Gemara text. Omar Rebbe, Ledivrei Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, who we saw was of the opinion that the money should be transferred back meaning to the earlier service group, to Yahyoriv. That Rebbe Yehuda will say, "Im kidmu bnei Yoriv yikrivu es ha'asham," if the Yahyoriv people hastily offered the asham prematurely before they received the money, that's an asham that is disqualified. Yachsor v'yovi asham acher, a second asham must be brought. V'yakrivu b'nei Yadaya, v'zochu halolu b'mashe b'yodan. Then Yadaya will be offered the asham to offer, and they maintain that which is already in their possession, namely the money that they receive, they will hold on to. Amri, we ask, Lamai Chazi, Asham Pasulhu. The term, in this source, we saw the term Zahu. I must make a correction before we can go any further. In the Tanaic source that we just read, the concluding phrase was "Vezochu halolu b'mashe b'yodan." I mistakenly made reference to Yedaya retaining the money that they received. That's true, but that's not what the words mean. "Vezochu halolu" is a reference to the Bnei Yehoyariv that offered the Osham prematurely, and we said it's essentially a disqualified Osham. They merit b'mashiba, they merit maintaining that which they have, namely the Osham, the disqualified Osham. So to this, the Gemara asks, Amri Lamai Chozi. The term Zochu means successfully gain and retain that. What's it? What of what value though is it? Osham Pasulhu. It's a disqualified Osham. What benefit do they get from it? They certainly cannot eat from it. Omarova li oiroi. They benefit by being able to keep the skin of that sacrifice. Tanya Omar Rebbe, Ledivre Rebbe Yehuda. Again, you see Rebbe commenting on Rebbe Yehuda. Im kayim osham, if the osham, the animal, the sacrifice is still around, yachsir osham etzel kesef, then the sacrifice, the animal sacrifice, is to be given to where the money is. Is that really what Rebbe Yehuda said, though? For Ha Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda said the opposite. Yachsir kesef etzel osham. The money is to be given to where the osham, the guilt offering is laid. That's what Rebbe Yehuda holds. So how can Rebbe misrepresent Rebbe Yehuda? Ha chab am I asking on? That which Rebbe is referring to, kagain de nofak mishmarto de yahayoriv velo tovoi. The Yehoyariv service group, which according to Rebbe Yehuda was entitled to receive the money from the Yedaya people, but they did not put in a claim to it, so that the week of Yehoyariv passed, they did not claim the money. V'ha komash malon, and what Rebbe is telling us, the achuli achilu gabayu, they are thereby foregoing on their claim on what they could have claimed. Let us take a look once again at what really happened over here. The Yehoyariv people had received a korban, osham, prematurely. At that point, when the money had been given to the next service group, the Yedaya people, before they started their week of service, the Yehoyariv people had a right to demand the money from them, according to Rebbe Yehuda. But they didn't do so. And in the meantime, they didn't offer the sacrifice either. The week of Yehoyariv passed. They didn't put in their claim for the money. So Rebbe Yehuda is telling us that they are thereby foregoing their rights to offering the guilt offering. And it, the Korban Osham, is then, as we saw in the source, is then transferred to the Yedaya group, those who had received the money. Tanya Idoch. And now we have still another source. Omar Rebbe, with the same type of opening. Ledivrei Rebbe Yehuda, in Kayim Osham, according to Rebbe Yehuda, if the Osham is around, Yachsir Kesev Eitzel Osham. So the money is to be given to where the Osham is. Pshita, Hachi Islay. What is, that's obvious, that's Rebbe Huda's opinion. What is Rebbe adding that I don't already know from that which Rebbe Huda said in the original source, where Rebbe Huda spoke on his own? So we answer, Hocha b'mai askinan. Kagoin, in this case, in this source, you know what we're talking about. That's still a new scenario. Kagoin, the nofik mishmartom dahani udahani. V'loi tavu. The service week of Yehoyariv passed. The service week of Yadaya passed. And no claims were made one from the other. Let's take a look at Rashi before we go on to the Gemara's explanation. Rashi, we have a little star to make it a little easier to find in the upper third of the Rashi commentary. Kegon de nofik mishmartam dahani udahani velo tovu b'nei yahayarev es hakesev v'mishmartam. The yahayarev people didn't demand the money during their week, which is something that Rebbe Yehuda would have allowed, but they didn't demand it. V'lo b'nei yadaya sa'asham v'mishmartam, nor did the b'nei yadaya insist on receiving the asham during their week, which is also something that Rebbe Yehuda would have allowed for, as we saw in the previous brisa. So the 2 weeks of Yehoyariv and Yadaya passed respectively without their respective demands. V'itzrich lashminen, and what Rebbe has to tell us in the name of Rebbe Yehuda, the lo tema, don't think the following. Don't think the next 3 lines. Don't think tema de Rebbe Yehuda b'detavu b'nei yahyariv shiachzor b'oid mishmartin kaimes, that the reason for Rebbe Yehuda in the case that yahyariv does demand while their mishmar is still there, but where they don't put a demand in, they forego to the B'nai Yadaya. Komash Malon, we'll continue with the Rashi momentarily. We continue with Rashi. We're told, the Kevon de B'nai Yadaya Nami Lo Tavu L'Osham B'Mishmartam, since the B'nai Yadaya likewise did not demand the Osham during their week, Yachzor Kesef Eitzel Osham, the money then will go back to the Osham, V'Akrivuhu B'nai Yoyoriv K'Shiyachzir Shabbos Mishmartam, and the B'nai Yoyoriv will offer that Osham. They will receive the money. The money will be given to them, and they will offer the Osham when their week rolls around again. So now we turn back to the Gemara. We mentioned that the case Rebbe was addressing, where he said, in the name of Rebbe Yehuda, that the Osham, if the Osham is still around, the money goes to where the Osham is. It was necessary to be taught where the Mishmorois of Yehoyariv and Yadaya went by without either group placing a demand for what they could have. Mahu detema, without Rebbe, I might have thought, Achuli Gabi Hadodi, that there is a foregoing of one to the other. Komash Malon, Rebbe tells us, the Amrinon, that we say, Kevon delo tavi, since no demands were made, Lehadru Beresha, everything is then restored to the original plan. And the original plan was for the Yehoyariv people to demand the money from the Yadaya people, and assuming that the Osham is still around, the B'nai Yehoyariv will offer the sacrifice. Shehamevi Gzelo ad Shalohevi Ashamoi Yotza. Money that is paid before the sacrifice is brought, has he has fulfilled what he's supposed to do, namely the payment of the money before the sacrifice. Menohani bini, from where do we know that the money is to be paid first? Omar Ravod Yamakro, the Pasuk says, Ha'osham Hamushav Lashem Lakahain, Milvad El Hakipurim Asher Yechaper Boy. The Pasuk makes reference to the Osham Hamushav Lashem, which is a reference to the money, the principal. Besides the El HaKippurim, besides the sacrifice, that Pasuk indicates, Michlal, we can infer from here, the Kesef Bereisha, that the money is dealt with first. In other words, the money is paid, and the animal has not yet been offered. Omar Umir Abonin L'Rava, so a particular rabbi asked Rava Elo Me'ata, according to your reading of the Pasuk, there's another Pasuk that says Milvad Oilas Haboiker. This Pasuk is in the context of public sacrifices brought on the holidays, and certain holidays have a Musaf offering. We call them the additional offerings. The known order of sacrificial process is the daily Tomid offering is offered first. It's the first sacrifice of the day. We call that the Tomid Shel Shachar. The Pasuk here says that the Musaf Korban is offered Milvad Oilas Haboker. Are you going to then say that when the Musaf is offered, the Olas Haboker is still around, just like you explained in the line just above, referred to Milvad El HaKippurim, where the Korban of the in the Gezel HaGer has still not yet been offered? Are you therefore going to say in the case of the Musafim, where the Pasuk describes the Musaf offering Milvad Olas Haboker, that when the Musaf is offered, the Olas Haboker, the daily public sacrifice, is still around, has not yet been offered? Hachi nami michlal de musafim bereisha. Are you to then read this in the same way as we did before and conclude that the musaf is offered first? V'hotanya, but we have a source to the contrary. Minayin shloye dovar koidim l'tomid shel shachar. From where do we know that no sacrifice is offered before the daily morning sacrifice, that we refer to in the pasuk milvat oilas haboker? Nothing precedes that by way of sacrifices. Talmud lomar, v'yorach oleh ha'oila, v'yomar rova ha'oila, the hey of that word indicates oila rishona. In the pasuk that we just cited, which was a pasuk referring to the daily morning sacrifice, it's referred to as the burnt offering, meaning the first one. So you see that by that reading the pasuk by the Gezel HaGer of Milvad El HaKippurim, if anything, if you parallel it to the law of the Musaf and daily public offering, it'll turn out that the Gezel HaGer sacrifice is to be done first. Omar Lay. So he answers, as Rava answers, I came to my conclusion that the money is first, may asher yechaper bo nafka, from the expression may asher yechaper bo, which is at the end of the line containing the pasuk of with the Gezel HaGer, where it said, reading the pasuk again, it said, Ha'osham Amushav Lashem Lakayim Milvad El HaKippurim Asher Yechaper Bo. The money is paid besides the guilt offering that will be a source of atonement. So the money is paid when the animal offering will be a source of atonement. Vadayin Lo Kippur. But when the money is paid, he hasn't yet achieved the atonement because the animal has not yet been sacrificed. It's not supposed to be sacrificed until the money is paid first. Nosan loy es hakeren, veloy nosan es hachoymesh, ein hachoymesh ma'akev. We saw that if the principal of the gezel ager is paid, but the additional fifth was not paid, the chomesh payment, that additional fifth payment, is not ma'akev, is not a restrictive element or restrictive force on the ability to offer the osham sacrifice. We have a Tanaic source that deals with another topic. It deals with the realm of mi'ila, the prohibition of deriving personal benefit from items that were sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. In achieving atonement for having violated mi'ila, one is to pay the principal of the value of that which he benefited, and he brings a guilt offering, a special korban. That's called an asham ilois. In addition, we spoke about the payment of the principal. He is also to add a fifth, so that you have a very similar situation to our situation of gezel ager, where the thief swore falsely, where he has to pay the principal, add a fifth, and bring a sacrifice. Tonu Rabbanan, minayin shim hevi me'ilosoi veloi hevi ashamoi. From where do we know that he who had wrongfully benefited from hektish brought me'iloso? What does that mean, hevi me'iloso? He paid the money. He paid the principal amount that he's expected to pay, to pay for the value of the benefit that he wrongfully enjoyed from the Beis HaMikdash. He paid that, but he didn't. Lo hevi ashamo. Ashamo means here, this is the word ashamo is a reference to the word osham in the pasuk, in the mikra. The word osham in the mikra, in the pasuk, is with regard to Me'ila, is a reference to the sacrifice. Someone paid the money, but he didn't bring the sacrifice. Ashamoi v'lohevi milasoi. He brought the ashamo, the sacrifice, but didn't pay the money. Shelo yotza. He has not fulfilled his Torah obligation of seeking atonement for the Me'ila sin. Where do we know that one without the other is ineffective? Talmud Lomar, Be'el Ha'asham V'Nislach Loi. The Rashi says, Be'el Ha'asham V'Nislach Mashma. It appears from here, it sounds from here, that Ein Slicha Elo B'Shnehem. Ayol Kimashmo. The word Ayol is a reference to the animal. Ha'asham Keren. Notice the switch in the terminology. Here, in the pasuk, the word asham is a reference to the principal value, the money that needs to be paid. Kidiyolif lekamei, hegdish mehedyot. As will be taught later on, where we learn the rules of hektish from the rules of hedyot. Ma ha'osham dechsi begezel hager kerenu. Just like the word osham in the Torah, by gezel hager, by stealing from the convert, is a reference to the principle, kedomar liel, as we've said in the past. Af osham dechsi behektish, so too the word osham that the Torah uses with regard to hektish, the me'ila sin, kerenu. The word osham in the Torah is a reference to the money payment, the principal payment. So that the pasuk answered our question, namely, from how do you know that if you bring one without the other, the principle without the sacrifice, or the sacrifice without the principle, you don't fulfill your obligations? So Pesuk says, you have to bring the ayal, ba'al, the animal, ha'asham, the money, and then v'nisachlo, and then you achieve atonement. Let's continue in the Gemara. Uminayin shim hevi ashamai ad shalo hevi miloso shalo yotza. And from where do we know that if he brought his sacrifice, when we see the word ashamo used in a rabbinic sense, in his rabbinic speech, as opposed to a citation from the verse, so ashamo, in rabbinic speech, is a reference to the sacrifice. I know that this sounds confusing, but let's try to bear with it. From where do you know that if he brought the sacrifice before paying the me'ilah, the money, shelo yotza, that he has not fulfilled the Torah requirement? Bringing the animal prematurely is a wrong thing to do. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Be'el ha'asham. The term Be'el ha'asham, Rashi says, Be'el ha'asham, mashma ba'el shubo choyva lo'asham. It implies the animal, the ram, is the ayel, the animal that is brought as a requirement for the asham shu keren. The asham in the scripture is the principal payment. So what do you see? Almo keren bereshim I see. You see that the money must be paid first. It's the ram of the asham. It's a ram, an animal sacrifice of the money. Namely, the money had to have been paid first. Ha'asham bekvar. The money was paid first. Yachol kishem sha'ayil v'asham akvim kach chaymish ma'akev. Could it be that just like the animal sacrifice and the payment of the principal are binding forces for atonement, so too the chaymish, the additional fifth, is a binding force for atonement? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, V'el ha'asham v'nislach lo, ayil v'asham akvin behegdish, v'ein chaymish ma'akev. The ayo, the animal, and the osham, and the principle, they are restrictive factors or restraining factors on the atonement. In hektish, hektish, a reference to me'ilah, to the me'ilah violation. He benefited wrongfully from hektish, from that which was sanctified. So those are binding factors, the animal and the osham. V'ein chomesh ma'akev, but the fifth is not a binding factor. V'yilmad hegdish mehedyoy v'hedyoy mehegdish. And let us learn hegdish from hedyot. Hedyot is a reference to gezel hager, which is a sin and affront done to a person, a hedyot, a commoner, as opposed to benefiting from something sanctified. So let us learn hegdish from hedyot v'hedyot mehegdish. What do we mean by that? Hegdish mehedyot. Let us learn concerning mi'ilah from gezel hager, ma osham dehosam keren. Just like osham in the Torah by gezel hager, the word osham was clearly a reference to the principal payment. Af osham dehocha, so too osham here by mi'ilah, the word osham is a reference to keren, the principal payment, the money payment that must be made. Vehedyo mehegdish. Let us also learn the other direction. Hedyot gezel hager from hegdish. Ma hegdish ein chomesh ma'akev, af hedyot nami ein chomesh ma'akev. Just like with regard to hegdish by the me'ilo violation, we said and we proved that the chomesh, the additional fifth, is not a restraining factor. So too by the hedyot, by gezel hager, the chomesh is not me'akev. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.